With three cats, I'm full.
I'm going to call the meeting in order, February 8th, Kensington Fire Protection District. Thank you.
Keep calling.
And we are all here. No, yes.
No.
No.
Joe Newfield.
Joe is out of town. I take that back. He's out of town. And he's doing an interesting job. He's on one of these trains that go up with groups of people like. Well, you go to like Truckee or you go to Reno. So he's the kind of the man on the train. See how he stands up.
The man.
Well, no, it's just sort of like, I guess, making sure everything is going smoothly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah, so he's looking forward to it. Adoption of the consent hour, items 3, 4, and 5, oral, let's see, approval of the meetings, approval of monthly AP voucher, approval of monthly financial report.
John, don't you usually start by asking if people are even here?
Can I what?
He did.
I did.
Missed it, totally sorry.
You were talking.
Yeah.
I make the motion that we adopt the consent items number 3, 4, and 5.
Hello, I have a couple of questions on the consent ballot.
Okay, what are they?
Okay, on the 6 month revenue and expense report, when you go to page number 3, about halfway down the page, retiree medical benefits. We had a budget for all 3 items on there, but we don't expect to spend anything. What's the reason for that?
I'm sorry, where are you?
Okay, I'm on the 6 month report, revenue and budget versus actual.
Can we pay and get reimbursed for that?
Where is it? I am.
Oh, this is the one under new business?
No, I'm on the consent calendar.
Yeah.
What document are you looking at?
I'm looking at the 6 month revenue and expenses.
July through January 12th?
Yes.
That one? Okay.
Yes.
Where on the document?
Page 3.
Page 3?
Halfway down the page.
Where'd you find that?
It's retiree medical benefits.
There is no page 3.
There is no.
There is no page 3.
Pardon me?
There's no page 3.
Would you mind just showing us just this?
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't mind.
I'm sure your finance, probably us, but just.
So the next page, then I'm going to go to finance.
Oh, maybe it's page 1.
Okay. So show the president here what it is you.
Okay.
Because I'm not pulling it up the same as you.
Those items. They're on the 3rd page of that report.
That's not on the consent calendar.
That's not on the consent calendar.
Are we going to be talking about this at all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Is the are the minutes for the finance committee meeting from May 31st, is that on the consent calendar?
No.
No, it's on your board.
So I got a chance to talk about it when we get there.
Yes.
So do I talk about it now?
No,
let's. If it's a finance question, we've got a measure to.
No, it's a more general question.
Yeah, we're gonna. Would that is that fall in?
That's under board reports.
Okay, so we'll handle it a little bit.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah, a new business.
Okay.
Okay. Once again, I'll make the motion that we adopt consent items number 3, 4, and 5.
Second.
Second? Oh, second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Measure passes. Chief, report.
You know, they're out of order.
Yeah, I need to. Deceptive. I was going to color it with a yellow marker, but I didn't do it. So this, what I remember, this part of the meeting is reserved for comments, inquiries from citizens, board members concerning matters not otherwise on the agenda. Yes?
Hi. So I wrote you guys a letter. A month or two ago, I live on Norwood. I've lived in Kensington for 14 years. I'm very concerned because there's that shoddy Sundar display on Dozer, which actually is not even in Kensington. I'm Jewish, which doesn't really matter, but I do want to point out that not everyone in this room celebrates Christmas. I've been just like, okay, whatever, it's a huge display, that's fine. You know, not for my religion, not for anything having to do with me, especially considering it has a Bible verse on it that says, you know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus ain't my Lord, but that's fine, okay? I mean, I'm happy that everyone gets to celebrate Christmas. Everything was fine until I saw uniformed fire department there, in their uniforms, with the fire truck from Kensington, putting up the display. Now, that really made me angry, because there is a constitution in the United States that says that the government is prohibited from establishing a religion. The test for that is what the government can assist with things unless, only if the primary purpose of the assistance is secular. Assistance must neither promote nor inhibit religion. There is no excessive entanglement between church and state. Unfortunately, I went to law school, so I did look up a few cases on this.
Could you state your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Ann Sussman. Okay. I live at 15 Norwood Avenue.
Thank you.
And my kids go to Korematsu in Kensington.
Yeah, we got your letter, and right? we did talk about it last meeting.
Uh-huh, I understand.
And there was a sense that it was okay, but we're going to ask her, we take your comment seriously, and so we've asked our attorney to see what they think about it.
Okay.
So I don't have an answer on that.
Okay, because I can't, I mean, I'm not practicing anymore, but I've talked to a bunch of attorneys, and I mean, the thing is, I'm not asking you to take down the display. I'm not asking you to take down the Bible verse. All I'm asking you is not to bring, you know, uniformed fire department there. Yeah. If they want to do it in their free time, I don't care. They can do it naked for all I care. I just don't want them there in their uniforms. It's not for me, and I don't want my tax dollars going to put up a Bible verse about Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. Evidently, existed not in that location, but for this.
I understand.
And we have been helping them, I guess, for 20, 30 years, something like that.
That's fine.
So anyway, we're going to get an opinion on it, and if you come next time, you'll hear what.
Okay, obviously the political climate right now is a little scary, and you know, there's a lot of lack of separation between church and state, and I think that we really need to hold tight to that. You know, even if it was a Jewish star, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
So I'm not. This has nothing to do with it being Christian or Muslim or anything.
Yeah.
It's just shouldn't
okay.
be a
so,
religious thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I think our sense was it was more cultural than religious, but we're going to get a feeling about it.
Not
I guess people then can go off duty if they want to do that, and that
exactly,
would be their choice.
Exactly, that's completely fine. Yeah. But I mean, if you asked one of your Hindu friends, if you asked one of your Jewish friends, I don't think they would think it was cultural. Because you probably celebrate Christmas, you see it as part of your culture. It ain't part of mine.
You realize the person who started this tradition was Hindu.
I understand. No.
Huh?
It's Sikh.
Oh, Sikh.
Yes,
okay.
I understand that, and that's really lovely for him. But he's not around anymore, and this is the government that's now going in and doing this, okay? He had every right to do that as a Sikh person. It's fine. But as a Jewish person, I don't want my tax dollars going to that, okay? Unless you want the fire department then to come to my temple, and you can, you know, serve at the homeless meal at my temple. Whatever. I mean, I don't want that. I just don't want any, I want a separation.
I think this is
that engine was not out of call. I mean, it was an active one.
Done.
It was just parked there. But we'll let it go.
Okay.
We got your comment.
Okay.
We're checking into it, and we'll be happy to.
Okay, I'll come to that meeting.
Yeah. So,
okay,
thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Now,
good evening. At least the rain let up for long enough
first
just to come
to
out.
Get us in.
So hopefully we can get it out before the evening storm. You'll see in my February 1st Chiefs report there, right up on our 2016 CERT activities. I won't read it to you, but I'll point out a couple highlights. Second paragraph, you'll see that we had 57 participants go through the program in 16. That's the 26-hour full course. I'm happy to report that that's up 50% from the year before. So that's it's always good to see a spike in attendance on these type of disaster preparedness programs. And then something you're very familiar with there at the bottom of the page, it talks about Kensington's fire protection expansion of the program and the CERT shed caches of equipment that we place throughout the community. We have 6 areas in Kensington. We now have 2 sheds placed, one in transit getting ready to get placed, and one area has just asked for some equipment. So it's been very successful, much more than I thought it would be for its first year. So we hope in the future we can entice the other area coordinators to be interested. We did a lot better than I thought we'd do in the first 12-month period.
How are we doing on this one?
We're holding on this one to determine what we do with the station. Because if we build a station, we might try to do it right on site with the station. That's where we're at. So, no, either location, CR.
The one for here was planned for up top, not on the park area.
That's all I have.
That's it, okay. Thank you. So let's see, a couple on my report, a couple reminders, and I think Brenda did this because I'm usually the slowest one to get the Form 700 filing complete by the March the 8th, and the ethics one below called, it's called harassment prevention.
Which is it?
It says harassment, but it's ethics.
It's
that is free until that date. And we're all due for the harassment training also.
Okay, we're doing a substitution.
So we have to do two trainings?
No, we have to do both.
Have to do both, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
By the 15th of March, okay.
So the ethics one is not free?
Ethics is free, harassment is not.
Yeah,
the ethics is free forever, this one is free until March 15th, is that?
The harassment is not free.
It's not free.
You'll need to pay for it and put it into
and then you'll,
to me for reimbursement.
But you're saying it's time for us to do it.
So
that's why
I thought
we can't get recertified as a district.
We have to do it by March 15th, but it's not free.
The harassment?
No, there's a typo there where it says harassment, it should say ethics.
Okay.
So ethics,
right.
Needs to be done by
it's,
March 15th.
I switched them.
And it's free.
The harassment still needs to get done.
Okay, and that's... I guess that reminder's not on the
list. That would be
seen
if it was there.
No, it's not. Okay.
So you're reminding us to take the harassment as well.
And what's the deadline for the harassment? I mean, obviously.
At your earliest convenience.
At earliest,
because
okay.
We're not a district of distinction until we've all completed our training.
So we're reapplying, I can tell.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I have. I'll talk about the public safety project a little later. And we are on to new business, which is fiscal year 16-17 mid-year budget review, finance committee. And I'll turn it over to Janice.
Okay, just a couple items to note. And I'm looking at our combined revenue expense and capital budget, which is in the new business portion of your packet. If you look just at our overall, where we are with respect to the budget of 2016-2017, we're projecting revenue of $3.9 million. And then if you look at page 2, we're predicting expenditures of almost $3.2 million. So that we initially budgeted for an overage of about $700,000, which we were going to put into the building fund. Now, if you go back and look at the handout right before that, the revenue and expense budget versus actual, this document, you'll see that our property tax revenues came in 3% over what we anticipated, $114,000 that we didn't anticipate. And we have greater interest income than we anticipated because remember, we switched our investments over to the county out of Lathe and into CD, so we're getting greater interest income. So we've got about $152,000 more income than we contemplated. In addition, we've got significantly less expenses than we contemplated. In particular, we're not spending anything on contingency. We're $30,000 light to date on our needs assessment, and the $10,000 on water system improvements is the $10,000 we slot in there in case the chief wants to put in hydrants. That's enough money to fund one or two hydrants in the event East Bay Mud has the streets open. So if you look down the bottom of the page, you'll see that we're running light on expenses, heavy on income, and so we're going to wind up in a better position than we anticipated. We're going to have $240,000 more dollars than we anticipated if we continue on schedule. Now, a couple things to note when we take this document, which tells us where we are the first 6 months. Oh, another couple things I wanted you to note over here before we leave this. You'll see that our legal fees are way, way high this year compared to other years. Our legal fees are $15,890, which is three or four times what we spend normally per year. That's because of the legal information we got on the hostile takeover of the district.
Right.
So that's primarily what those legal fees are for. That's a big number for us. Usually we're spending $3,000 or $4,000 for the year. Okay, now if we go over here to our revenue and expense and capital budget, a couple things I'd like you to note over here. I'm in the revenue portion of the budget, and five lines down, you'll see we're budgeting this year $1 on the lease agreement. We have a zero in there in our planning for 2017, 2018. That's not because we believe the number is going to be zero. It's because the lease expires on June 30th. And when that lease is renewed with the Community Services District, we'll put the real number in there. But we don't know what the real number is. The negotiations haven't taken place yet. Now, the Finance Committee is suggesting two amendments to the budget that you enacted in September. The first is about 60% of the way down the page under community service activities, and it's the Diablo Fire Safe Committee matching grants. You'll see we budgeted $5,000 so that to the extent members of our community make donations to the Diablo Fire Safe Committee, then we match their donations. Sierra has done an extraordinary job.
Yeah. Yes,
this year,
absolutely.
And to date, Sierra has raised $8,000. And so the Finance Committee is recommending that we increase that $5,000 number to $8,000 for our 2016-2017 budget, as well as for our fiscal year 2017-18 planning budget. And good for you. Didn't you do a good job? That's super. Thank you very much for your efforts.
I want you to know that this year, because of about 9 contributions, I'm talking about getting a check for $1,000. I'm got a couple checks for $500. This came magically.
Wow.
A few people handing me checks for $300.
Wow. Good for you. Do you have any idea how many donors there are about? What's your
78
guess?
78 contributions, 75
wow.
donors, because some people contributed early in the year and late in the year.
Yeah, okay.
And
good
I know that you guys do not need to see this, but should you wish to, it's all so documented and
it can sure
see.
Is. That's great. I mean, yippee skippy, good for you. Now, just for your information, if you go to the very back of our packet, you'll see that the Diablo Fire Safe Council's information are the last two pages of our packet. And if you take a look-see, you'll see that in terms of how well they treat us here in Kensington, we have 12 grants in Kensington from the Diablo Fire Safe in terms of vegetation management. So we're getting a very good return.
You're stealing my thunder.
You're stealing Larry's thunder.
Oh, all right. Well, you can say more. I'm just pointing it out in the context of budgetary that it's well worth our attention. Now, the second amendment I would propose to our budget is down here, maybe 6 or 8 lines from the bottom with respect to the public safety building. The needs assessment feasibility study we budgeted at 125. And Don believes that the number is going to be closer to 150 for this year. So we're recommending that we increase that 125 number up to 150. Now, in terms of where that leaves us overall, we're still going to be making almost $1.1 million worth of contributions to the public safety building. So if you go back and take a look at our last page in the combined revenue, expense, and capital budget, you'll see that by July 1st of this year, we should have about $1.8 million towards the budget. And Actually, probably more because we're running a little light on expenditures this year, but we'll have close to $2 million worth of accumulated reserves by July 1st when it starts becoming time for us to make decisions. So that's all I wanted to report on the budget, and those are the only two recommended changes that the Finance Committee has. Increasing the Diablo Fire Safety Council grant from $5,000 to $8,000 for this year, as well as for planning purposes for next year. And then increasing the budgeted amount for the needs assessment feasibility study and increasing it from $125 to $150. So, any comments from the board? And if no comments from the board, we'll go back to the public. And I think Carl had comments on this document when he thought it was on the consent calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think my friend Dave has helped me out on one of those items. On the third page, the retiree medical benefits.
Correct.
We originally budgeted some, and our expectations are that we will not spend any. Is that because we are fully vested?
I'm not sure what you're talking
about.
Okay,
the third page, on the operating expenses, halfway down.
It says zero budget. It's right here.
Oh, on the retirees' medical expenses?
Yeah.
Here.
Oh, here, okay.
Oh, for planning purposes for 2017, 2018? Yeah, we're fully funded.
Okay.
I guess
yes,
that's
what
she's
referring to. Yeah, and we're in fact a little more than fully funded. We're going to get a new actuarial study done this summer. So we may, procedurally the way we go, in June we enact a preliminary budget, and then we formally enact it in September, and then we review it in February, like here. This is one of the years when we get an actuarial study that tells us where we are on funding retirees' benefits. The last study showed we were about 200,000, maybe 2 1/4 more than we needed. And so
my neighbor knew, he gave me the answer.
Yeah, okay, but we're going to know more after the actuarial study, Carl, and we may decide to make changes after that.
On the next page, somehow last year we started giving up on paying garbage bills. Did we give up on having garbage, or we just gave up on having garbage bills? It's the fourth item on the next page.
Stop it. Mm-hmm.
We've got zero for garbage. Why is that, Brenda?
They don't charge us anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
I guess.
They don't charge us anymore since they renewed the contract. I called them and asked them how come I haven't been getting bills, and I guess because we're in the public safety billing, they're not charging us anymore.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, is that that guy that we hired to look at all of our utility bills?
No.
Oh.
No.
He's just looking
just
at
Bayview Refuge.
Okay. Yippee, that's great. Okay.
You sure the garbage isn't piling up? I have one more question on the final page. Okay, on page 6, the note. The note explains what we were doing in 12, 13, 13, 14, and 14, 15. But we clearly made a change in 15, 16, and I think the note covered that. Because we went from doing 100,000 plus 4% to 300,000 plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can expand a note if you like that just says that the board, beginning in 15-16, the board decided to commit additional reserves to the public safety building given the seismic study.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I think also it should be pointed out that in the year you're talking about, 15-16, we had a windfall.
Okay.
We had a tax windfall, as did the police district.
Larry, and I'm not challenging the numbers. I just said if you look at this, you've never seen it before, and you leave this note, it does not explain.
Yeah.
It does not explain what happened.
So, okay, I just wanted to make that. We've had two windfalls that we weren't expecting. We took the money that we didn't expect to get, and we put it into the building fund.
You actually had three windfalls. Those two plus the garbage bill that didn't show
That's
up.
That's right.
Well, yeah. And maybe we should talk to PG&E. Maybe they don't want to charge us anymore either. Huh?
We have somebody studying the PG&E bill, so and they get a percentage of the whatever reduction we get, they're going back like over, I can't remember, it was 2 years, 5 years.
Really?
They do it. Yeah, I met them down at the CSDA conference last fall. And they don't charge us anything. They just audit all of our utility bills. And if there's savings, I think they take 20% of the savings retroactive, and then we get the future savings
in the future,
for free.
That's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, good for you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your answers.
Okay. Sure.
Do you need a motion?
Well, I'm going to make the motion then.
Okay.
I'm going to move that we amend our revenue, expense, and capital budget as indicated earlier, namely by increasing the Diablo Fire Safe Council matching grants for the current fiscal year and for the next year's planning budget from $5,000 to $8,000 each, and that for the 2016-17 budget, we increase the needs assessment feasibility study of the public safety building from $125,000 to $150,000.
I'll second that motion. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Measure carries.
Thank you very much for your support for this.
Well, thank you for supporting the community.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you work hard at this.
On the board reports, finance.
Let's see. You'll see that our finance committee minutes are in the packet. It always looks like you're getting the minutes really late, but the Finance Committee generally meets only twice a year, and we met last week. So that is when we approved our minutes of our May meeting, and we'll be meeting again in early June will be our next meeting, which is when we will be meeting with Lance and El Cerrito City Manager Scott Hannon. So we'll be receiving El Cerrito's contract proposal at that date. And we'll also be preparing the fiscal year 17-18 budget for consideration by the full board at our June meeting. So there are the minutes. I think you had a comment or a question on the minutes also, Carl.
Yeah. Do you have a firm date on the next meeting?
No.
Okay.
No, it should be early June.
Okay.
We're working around people's vacations and stuff, and also it has to be like late May, early June, because it has to be when Scott Hannon is able to get the El Cerrito budget together, and when he gets approval from the city council, he then comes to us.
Okay.
So it should be late May, early June. We will know probably by our May meeting, we'll have a date set up, and we'll announce it at this meeting.
Okay.
And then we also post that. The Finance Committee is the only committee that is covered by the Brown Act because it's our only standing committee.
I have two requests. I'm asking that you move the meeting to a night meeting. And number two, that you publicize that meeting. Because that's the point where you are going to make a decision, or the Finance Committee is going to make a decision, which will recommend to the board, on what kind of fee you're going to pay El Cerrito. That's the largest expense we have in the fire department, and I think that it deserves some public scrutiny. And this is one of my favorite documents. When I look at that, I just don't understand, because the administrator of El Cerrito gave a number of line items. At this point, he talked about the increases that had happened during the year, and I took all of his increases and added them up and divided them by the number, came out to be 4.7%, and then El Cerrito asked for an increase in 7.74%. The chief at that point talked about how there is a two-year budget within El Cerrito. I didn't quite see what that had to do with it. And Jim Watt clearly objected to various numbers in the increase that El Cerrito had seen and talked about some numbers. But I don't know how you end up with having a number of items that average 4 point whatever with a 7.4. So I'm asking that you move the Finance Committee at the beginning of June to a night meeting and publicize it.
Isn't it redundant? Because we do have the city manager and we do go over the contract. Is that right?
Yeah, it's very difficult to hold at night because we have to have our accountant there. I mean, you and I can probably do it. We need to have our accountant there and we need to have Scott Hanna there.
No, what I'm saying is we do present in a public
And it
forum.
Is duly presented at a public meeting. And then it's presented at this board meeting at night.
So we do,
in fact, have a night meeting on the El Cerrito budget proposal, contract proposal. It's just very hard to have the finance committee meet at night when we have professional people who have lives.
I think what I'm saying is Carl gets this meeting in the evening anyway, no matter what, it's this group rather than the finance group.
Correct.
That makes sense,
There is a
Carl?
Night meeting.
I didn't know the beginning of what you said.
What I'm saying is that what is presented at the finance meeting is also presented at that month's evening meeting for the board. So you're going to get the same information.
But you spent almost no time at the board on this issue because you took the recommendation from the finance committee, and I was the only one who spoke at this point besides the board. The discussion is really going to be at the finance committee. From what I saw from last year. And there's nothing I care more about than the financial well-being of this community.
Tom?
Yeah.
Perhaps there's the possibility that you could get together with Carl and Jim and other people and walk through the math thing so that the questions have a study session. So that all questions are resolved?
Well, that would also have to be a noticed meeting by the Brown Act.
I mean, I'm sure you guys can notice a meeting. Yeah. But I'm just suggesting that getting together around a table and doing the figures and explaining it and coming to a real tactile understanding, pencils and papers, a real tactile understanding might solve a lot of this and create a better understanding. It's just for you to consider.
Jim and Carl will be there at the finance committee meeting.
I think I would be opposed to that.
That's all right.
A small meeting, wouldn't you? I think there's a transparency problem with that.
What? Wouldn't that be?
If there's a discussion, it ought to be an open thing, not just for a couple people that we meet with. So
I agree.
I don't think it would work.
That could only be a couple of people. Certainly, it should be open to anyone.
Yes.
I think the most important aspect of that meeting is being able to ask questions of the El Cerrito city manager.
He's here. Yes.
Right, but I would agree with Carl. It would be better if you could have it in the evening where more people could attend and be able to ask questions of the city manager, because he really knows the ins and outs of the contract and how things are.
But we could ask him to attend.
Well, he does. He does. He typically attends.
No,
he didn't last year.
Okay.
The point being that I agree with Carl. That it should be an evening meeting because it allows.
That's a very difficult time of the year for him because he's working on El Cerrito's budget, not just on our budget. So
Can I ask you maybe to ask him that, if he would be able to or willing to spend one evening out of his time?
Okay, it could be early. It doesn't have to be at 7. It could be at 5 or 6.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. I mean, it seems like the benefit, what you're saying is that it gives you a chance to see it, think about it, and then have some concerns about it.
Well, it's not so much concerns. I mean, he's the person most knowledgeable about the El Cerrito budget, which affects, obviously, your budget, the fee.
We'll check people's schedules. That's all I can tell you now.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that, it gives more people the opportunity to attend. It's much more difficult to attend during the day. I mean, this last finance committee meeting, you had two people attend, myself and my wife, and that was about it. And it is more difficult to get to a day meeting for most people. It's easy for me because I'm retired, but not too much for a lot of people at work.
Okay, so
that's my only point.
We'll check, and we'll, I think, try to make some allowance if you want that. And it gives you kind of then two chances to make comments. The first one, obviously, you're not as informed because it's new information. So, okay, I think it makes certain amount of sense.
As far as publicity goes, I know the head about the Outlook, I may put in a good word for you.
Yeah.
Second. Would it be possible, if the issue is asking questions of the city manager, would it be possible to have the city manager come to the board meeting where the...
He generally does.
He does.
He's done that in the past.
He usually does.
Just not like...
Maybe comes twice.
Then wouldn't that solve the problem?
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, even if he's here...
Well, all I heard was it was difficult for the city manager to make an evening meeting.
No.
He comes to, he comes to the June meeting almost every year.
To the board meeting.
To the board meeting.
From the standpoint...
So would that not be all right?
Why would it be, if he can come to a board meeting, and why would it be difficult for him to come to a finance committee meeting in the evening?
Because that's an additional meeting.
That's one more meeting.
Well, yeah, but you're just saying that you generally accept recommendation of the finance committee, so you miss a lot of discussion. There is a difference between the two meetings.
And if he's...
Okay, so let me be clear, okay?
Yes.
The city manager comes to the finance meeting, and he comes to the evening meeting. He might have missed it last year, but I, you know, I remember every year he comes, so I guess he missed it. Fine.
Yeah.
So
there's... It would serve the purpose if he comes to the board meeting and is, and obviously would take questions with regard to the contract fee.
Mm-hmm.
That serves the purpose.
Okay. And would you still like to have the finance meeting a little later? So.
Well, ideally, yes, so people could make it, because it is an important meeting.
Okay.
At least the main meeting of the June meeting is very important, because you're talking about next year's...
So, we'll try to make that happen, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Any more finance comments? Okay. Public safety meeting. We met, a couple things have happened. We met with the architects. Nina's on that committee now. We met with the architects, last week? And we pretty much, I think between ourselves, you know, over the last couple of months, decided exactly what we want to do in the big terms. And so we have given them directions to develop really three schemes. One is just the cost of the seismic upgrade. No building improvements, but just as a kind of measure, you know, what is that cost? So you have that. That will be kind of an opinion, because we're not going to do calcs, but we have the initial structural engineer that had made a kind of an opinion on that, and then the architect's structural engineer is going to do the same thing. So it'll be a kind of magnitude number, but we're going to do that. We don't really plan to go that way, but we'll see what that price is. And then we're going to have two schemes. We're going to have a scheme on the existing site. There is, I think, a pending issue there in that we could not really get CSD and the fire department on that earlier attempt. We both ended up short. So there is a possibility that the fire department, fire station, would occupy all of that site. And there would be an option, but there's some cost to it, to buy the parcel next door, where CSD could be then a bigger building, but they would have to make some kind of investment. I might be wrong, but I just think we're not. We have 5,800 square feet. We've got an 8,000 square foot fire station, and then it's going to be hard to get another 3,000 on the site. I mean, that's kind of the thing we had in front. And the other... there's a parking problem, but that's separate. And then the other option would be building in the park, and that would be both agencies down by the library, you know, facing, you know, in the site that we've talked about before. We talked to Eileen and Rochelle, or I guess I did, and I think I said last time we wanted some kind of acknowledgement that we're looking at that site. And so I'm changing my language a little bit in that I think we realize that we're going to end up with some folks are happy with one scheme and some folks are happy with the other. And so it basically is going to be resolved as a public input kind of process. We won't know numbers exactly, but we'll have at least one public meeting on it. And so what we're really asking them for is to acknowledge that, you know, that's one of the things we're looking at, and so they don't have to say yes or no. And if the community says fine, then hopefully they have the votes to proceed with that. And if it gets turned down, then we're back at the other site, and we know the problems there. So that's where we are. I think Eileen is going to have something on the March agenda. We've talked about that or not. I mean, I guess if we don't need a formal acknowledgement, it's okay. It's just that I didn't want to stand up in a public meeting and then someone says, well, we didn't say you could do that. So it's just an acknowledgement.
Yeah, I'll talk to Rochelle and we'll put it on.
Yeah, so we're not looking for a hard yes or no on it. So yeah, just a process.
Okay. Do you want anything from us? You want us to be there and talk about it or just?
Let's talk, we can talk about that in the future. Yeah. But yeah, I'll mention that to Rochelle.
Yeah.
Put it on the first March meeting. Yeah. We now have 2 meetings a month.
Yeah.
I've heard that, yes. Yeah. So we've got a kind of a draft schedule now that we're kind of, you know, coming to some resolution on these things. And we're looking at probably having the public meeting May, maybe June, but sort of at that point. I don't think that we'll quite make it for April, but in that area. And then we would hope after that's all done that we could make a choice.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
I just wonder if consider the distance from the park site to like the area around Calusa Circle is significantly greater.
Chief?
Yeah, we wouldn't even consider Calusa Circle. It's too low in the community.
No. What I mean is that choosing the park site rather than the existing site puts the fire station a great deal farther from lower Kensington.
It does adjust the response into Kensington, and if we got closer, we would do some modeling to see what it looks like. But for other parts of the community, it puts it more in the center.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I mean,
faster for some and slower for others.
So we have really short responses if someone is in the grocery store, and pretty long response if you all have to go all the way down to Mosier. So the park site would be more central, but you're right. There'll be some drawbacks too. Uh-huh. Any questions on public safety?
Well, I guess just one thing that a comment that I'd like to make, and that is, I think we should stress the fact that, because I've been through this before with another fire department of moving, building a new firehouse. There's a lot more expense involved in trying to refurbish the place. There would be a lot more expense for the police district, and there'd be a lot more expense for the fire district when you have to tear, when you're
doing the demolition.
The police would have to find someplace else to go. Whereas if you have a new site and you're building a new building, then everybody can stay put in the old building. There's absolutely no extra cost. I've been to enough police district meetings at this point that I know that they're very concerned with the cost of to the police district to find someplace else to put everybody while we're demolishing the fire, the station. Yeah. So I think that's an important issue to stress.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to develop a very careful, thought out presentation with all the pluses and minuses. And so we'll work really hard on that. Yes?
I'd just like to commend on the effort to bring it to the public and let the public decide on the best approach. I think that's an excellent approach. Yeah. I had a question on the chief. If you had to build on the existing site, where would you locate your engine?
Well, I can only speak from the past at that position. Last time we did that, last time we had to do the the most robust earthquake retrofit on the front, it was over the bays, so the fire trucks couldn't be there. And it took out the day room and the living quarters. And so PD was able to move over in one corner, and we relocated the engines and the staff from Engine 65 to the Arlington Clubhouse at Arlington Park in El Cerrito. Now, that being said, that was the option then. I think both Dennis and Don were on the board there. We considered coming to here temporarily, and I think that we made the Channel 2 news that wasn't going to work out. So the public helped us make that decision. So, I mean, I think it's a key point, like Don said. All these decisions, there's a lot of moving parts. And all this will come back in a forum where everyone can say how they feel about it, and the public will get input. Larry is very right. Doing it just with, we had to do the same thing for Station 72 farther down the Arlington. We did a complete rebuild there. The relocation stuff is tough, and to do a relocation for police and fire simultaneously would be quite disruptive, and then more so what pops into my mind is it would be some one-time costs for the taxpayers, and it would be enormous. And if there's any way we can ever get around that, that's my goal, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you need to keep the existing public safety building spot available so that the next time you need to do a new building, you can...
Well, we'll all be gone.
Yeah. If it lasts 50 years.
Come by my grave site.
Our children,
yeah. Tap on the top for next time.
We have a couple more things to do here. Education, Janice?
No report.
Okay, nothing for Janice. Contra Costa County Special Service District?
Yeah. Yes, I forgot to type up my notes, but I can give them to you. There were actually four of us that went to the a special districts meeting. Nina and I went from the fire district, and Eileen and Wyoming went from the police district. They have started with a new program where they start a half an hour early, and that gives you time to do a little socializing, which is good. The essential things that we need to know about, I guess the guest speaker was Joan Buchanan, who was a former assemblywoman, and she's now a chair of the Restore the Delta. And she gave what I thought was a very convincing talk about how the tunnels would destroy the Delta, and destroying the Delta would destroy the infrastructure.
You want to comment on that,
David? I'm just telling you what she said.
I thought of you the entire time we were there. No, I thought, what would David think?
So that was a very interesting talk. Another thing, Luann Texera has been serving. I think all of you know she's the executive director of LAFCO, but her volunteer position, she's been serving on the park, the East Bay Regional Park District Advisory Board for several years, doing a wonderful job, and she's had enough, and they're having a very, very difficult time finding a replacement. In other words, there is a member from the county special district who sits on that board and advises the East Bay board. So we're looking for volunteers on that. It was announced that I have taken over as chair of the scholarship committee for this year, and we are going to continue. What we do is the district gives money to the Contra Costa School District, and they in turn turn that into a Teacher of the Year or Toy Award. The teachers are nominated through the district. It's a good way of us getting our name before a lot of people and doing some good. The board does all of the work of vetting the teachers and deciding who gets the award and who doesn't.
I wonder why they don't consider anyone from the West County School District.
They do.
You said it's the Contra Costa School District.
West Contra Costa is part of that.
I don't think it is.
Well, I know some this year somebody from Richmond won and somebody from Albany won. So it's all of the districts together that do this.
Oh, okay. All right. I was afraid it was just the Contra Costa.
No, it's all of the school districts in Contra Costa. And I think it's done by the Contra Costa School District, but they include all of the districts.
But I wonder why an award went to Albany.
Yeah, exactly.
Or no, not Albany. El Cerrito. The El Cerrito Science High School teacher won an award. Did I say Albany?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Different county.
Different county.
Okay.
Okay. And we are now officially, we have received our tax exempt status from the federal government. That was a tremendous amount of work. We had to change fiscal years. And Stan Caldwell was the guy that drove that effort. And it was a lot of work. And now we are the poster child for all of the other county special district associations, which also have to go through this same nightmare. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Nothing else to report.
Any more on Diablo State Fire Council, or have we sort of done that?
Yeah, I just want to say, if you look in the back, you'll see the annual report.
Yeah.
And you'll see that Kensington, which has a population of 5,000 people, was awarded 12 grants and $56,000 to maintain brush, do fuel reduction. You'll see that Oakland, which has a lot more than 5,000 people, last I checked, I'm not sure what their population is, they have a lot more, if you remember the Oakland Hills fire, they have a lot more exposure to wildfires. They also had 12 grants and $58,000. So CR has been extremely instrumental in getting people to apply for grants. They apply for the grant, they get the money, they take the fuel out, and we've got that together with our Fire Prevention Bureau doing very vigorous inspections that's kept the fuel level below. And I guess this year, with all of this rain, we're really in... Now, the drought was bad, and now the rain is going to cause all kinds of fuel problems.
So we're
doing very well with the grants, and the Diablo Fire Safe District is doing very well getting grants. So there's a lot of money in the till. You can see that from this report. They're talking about. We're talking about a budget of somewhere around $1.272 million.
So if I may piggyback on that, if you look at the grants on the final page of this report, the final sheet, you'll see where the communities are broken down, and you'll see that there's a federal portion of the grant, and then there's a matching portion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty remarkable to piggyback on what Larry said. So El Cerrito had $102,000 in total value grants. Kensington had $103,000. And Oakland had 106.
Right. Oh yeah, I did.
So if you look at the size of the community, now there's a reason this doesn't happen by chance. This is truly based on Ciara's legwork out in the community. People don't always believe when they have a vegetation management issue or a group of neighbors have a vegetation management issue. Be surprised how many times that a firefighter can go to them, Fire Marshal Bond, Fire Prevention Officer Renshaw, or Gagne can go, well, there's this thing called Agua Fire Safe, and you can apply for a grant. People a lot of times shy away from that, and I don't know if it's the uniform or the official capacity, but whenever we've had issues like that, and we bring Ciara along or ask Ciara to walk down the street,
Or pay a visit afterwards.
Yeah. That's why El Cerrito has 102 and Kensington has 103, and we're chasing to beat Oakland.
Yeah, you can't have
it's amazing what she does for the program and what she does for our community and Iowa Fire Safe. So I can't let the evening end without that.
We know that.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Aaron.
So I saw
quickly, I talked to you about that.